Are you ready if God calls you into service today? Now, I'm not talking about the things that you normally do. I'm talking about, are you ready if God calls you into service to do something that you're not comfortable with? Maybe a position that you're not familiar with? You don't want to be. Put Bob behind that keyboard and he can do magic. But I could tell how uncomfortable you were, but I thank you that you were willing to serve God. Most of us put conditions on God and say, Lord, I'll serve you. You've given me these gifts. I'll use them for you. What happens when he tells you, that's not where I want you to do? Then we go, well, now hold on, God. Hold on. Remember Moses? But Lord, use my brother. I don't talk so good. God let him out, right? No. Didn't let him off the hook at all. This has nothing to do with the sermon, or maybe it does. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. God expands our territories by expanding our ability to serve him, our willingness to serve him. There's a story of a group of salesmen who went to a regional sales meeting in Chicago. And obviously this was some time ago. But they had assured their wives they would be home in plenty of time to all get together and have dinner together. In their rush to catch the plane home, with tickets and briefcases in hand, one of the salesmen inadvertently kicked over an apple cart that a young girl was selling apples. As I said, you know the airport doesn't like the competition now, so they would never allow that. But the point is, the apples flew everywhere. None of the men stopped. They just kept running to catch their flight. All except one. He turned and he saw the young lady crying. And he had compassion. And he turned around and he went back and he began to pick up the apples. He noticed that some of the apples had been bruised by falling on the ground. And he put those in one basket. And the good fruit he put in another basket. And the little girl said, why did you stop? And he said, I'm not the one who hit your cart. But he said, I saw you had need. And I'm sorry. Looking at the bruised fruit after he had picked it all up, he asked the little girl, he said, here, will you take this and accept my apology? He said, here's $40 to pay for your bruised fruit. The little girl began to weep even harder. And he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And he slowly walked away. And then he heard the little girl say, Mister, are you Jesus? And he stopped. And he could not believe what the little girl had asked him. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus? Does anyone? Does anyone even see Jesus in us? I spoke Wednesday night at the Bible study of an incident which happened that afternoon. I had gotten off the parkway, and as I pulled up to the stop sign. I looked to the left, and I saw someone coming, but I thought I had plenty of time. And as I pulled out, I glanced again and realized how close they were, so I accelerated rather heavily. And as I did, I came up on a car that was in front of me. I wasn't tailgating him or anything. But all of a sudden, he started waving at me with one finger and started calling me everything but a white man. I don't know what I supposedly did to this person, but I thought, what is this all about? Why is this guy acting this way? And he literally had almost lost his mind. He was shaking, trying to grab the steering wheel and shake it, and was looking in the rearview mirror, just letting me have it, and reaching out the window with one hand, giving me the bird the whole time. I thought, what is wrong with this guy? So I pulled in the left lane so that I could turn down Touch Street. And he starts veering towards me, giving me the what for again. And I thought, I'm going to get away from this crazy guy. So I pulled back in the main lane and went around past by between Wendy's and Pizza Hut there. And this guy comes after me. I'm like, boy, I don't know what's going to happen here. Every turn I make, he followed me. And I'm steadily thinking, this is one of those crazy situations where you hear where somebody pulls you over and shoots you. And I thought, Lord, what is going on? You know what? I can honestly say I didn't cuss him. I didn't flip him the bird back. But the longer I drove with him behind me still acting the fool, the more the flesh riled up. I had made up my mind when we got at the stop sign, I was going to get out of my car and go talk to him. People couldn't see Jesus in me that day. I didn't flip him off. I didn't curse him. I didn't do anything. But I do thank God that that man pulled off right before we got to the stop sign, because I was ready to give him the what for. Say, well, you're the pastor. You're a preacher. I'm a man. I'm a human being who has feelings just like everyone else, and I failed. I failed. You wouldn't be able to see Jesus in me at that moment. Jody tells me that when I get angry, I have a vein here in my forehead that stands out. She calls it my Hulk vein. I'm sure it was standing out that day. I just became so offended that someone would act like that for something that, as far as I know, I didn't even do. And that turn the other cheek thing just wasn't in my mind at that time. But you know what? Christ meant it. Christ meant it. You know the amazing thing, when the man stopped and helped the little girl, and he picked up all that bruised fruit, that's kind of how Jesus does with us. We're bruised, we're tattered, and we're torn, and we're not much to look at. But Jesus looks at us and he says, but this one's mine. And to him, were more valuable than life itself. He proved that on Calvary. Let's turn the page for a moment. A couple weeks ago, I was explaining the importance of voting in this upcoming election to one of our congregation members. And I even went so far as to say it was a Christian responsibility to vote. However, I now retract that statement. And some of you are saying, well, how can you say that? We're going to get into that. It is not a Christian responsibility to vote. It is a Christian responsibility to pray to God for the leadership of this nation. And folks, one only needs to look at our nation to see that they need all the prayers they can get. Regardless of who is in the position of leadership, we are to pray. However, that being said, for every drop of blood that was shed on the battlefields in the history of the United States, I will say it is an American responsibility to vote. The blood was shed so that you could vote. And I consider it a responsibility. God first, pray for our leadership. America second, vote. Vote your biblical conscience. Time and again, you hear people say, but should Christians get involved in politics? Well, apparently not, because the way it currently stands, one in every five eligible Christians aren't even registered to vote. In the last major election, two in five who were registered didn't even show up. Didn't even show up to vote. I've heard people say, well, ultimately it's God who decides the leaders. Well, there's some truth to that. Nothing happens without the okay of God. We know that. But you know what? We have a hand in it. Our responsibility is to pray for the leadership. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, therefore I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord, the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You may say one thing or another about the leadership, but folks, if you didn't vote, you got nothing to say. And if you did vote and it didn't go your way, I ask you, have you been praying for those people every day since then? The Lord says we should. Hosea 8 and 4 reminds us what happens when we choose leaders that are displeasing to God. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold, they made idols for their own destruction. Now, ultimately we know God has complete control, but God gives free will to man. We decide in this political system that we live in, we make the decision. Yes, we know it's through electoral votes instead of the common vote or the popular vote. But the fact is, we make that decision. That's the way our system is set up. God reminds us in Hosea that, you know what? You can pick your kings, but unless you seek my guidance, it may not be what I want. Time and time again throughout the history of Israel, what happened? They kept picking what they thought they wanted. You remember how it used to be? Used to be they followed God. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they said, oh, give us a king like everybody else has. Samuel warned against it. You don't want that. You don't want that. You follow God, he'll take care of you. You don't need a king. Oh, no, we want a king, so we'll be like all the others. They got it. In Proverbs 28 and 12, it kind of lets us know what happens when we have godless leadership. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. Translation? Pick a godly representative and you can glory in it together. Pick an ungodly representative and you're going to pay for it. You're going to hide your face from that and you won't be able to get away from it. Scripture gives Christians instructions to obey legitimate authority. You ready for this? Listen closely. This is the part you don't hear about often. Unless it contradicts the Lord's command. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 5. Sitting there thinking, boy, that didn't line up with my notes. Guess if you get in the right book, it helps a lot. And when they brought them, verse 27, 5 and 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? We're speaking the name of Jesus. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other disciples answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Do not mistake what I'm saying. We are not to rebel. We are not of the spirit of rebellion. We are of the Spirit of Christ. However, you have a responsibility to follow the dictates of God. You have a responsibility that when something is not right, you have a responsibility to try and make it right. First, through prayer. And second, through action. You don't see Peter going, oh, you know what? Guys, I tell you what, I forgot all about that thing you told us not to do. We won't do it anymore. He took action. He went out and did what God had told him to do. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Uh-oh. Does that mean that God appointed every person who's placed in position? means God allowed it. It's free will. Remember we spoke of that a few moments ago? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Well, hold on. That contradicts that other scripture you just read. No, it doesn't. It does not. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Here you go, folks. You ready for this? Render, therefore, to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Are you going to honor our politicians more than you honor God? Many do. Many do. Have a politician come around. He can walk in the back of a church and the service stops because he's somebody. Let the presence of God show up in a service and they're going, gosh, I wish this would stop. It's getting late. It's not the same thing. We give more honor to our politicians than we do the good Lord above. We need to understand that when we do things that are displeasing to God, we open a door that God will bring judgment upon us. Folks, I don't know if you noticed or not, but America has become a cesspool. The other night we were flipping through. Any children in here? Good. The other night we were flipping through the TV channels, regular TV, and there was a show or a advertisement there. I hate to even say this in church. For adult toys. We'll leave it at that. On regular television. What happened to our society? This is what you call programming? This is filth. What is wrong with our society? And you hear about these children who are being stolen from their families and sold into the sex trade. Homosexuality runs rampant across this nation. And in fact, it seems like they have a greater hand in what happens than we do. If God doesn't do something to bring judgment upon America, he's going to have to go back and he's going to have to ask forgiveness from Sodom and Gomorrah. But then where does our responsibility lie? What did we say the first thing we need to do is? Pray. Folks, pray for our nation as never before. Pray for our country. Pray God will show you whom you should elect, whom you should go out as a responsibility to the American people of this country, whom you should go out and vote for. And if it doesn't turn out your way, continue to pray. Continue to pray. I sit here and I think, this must be what Nineveh was like. When Jonah didn't want to go, because they were such a vile, evil group of people. This country we live in, don't misunderstand me. I gave 20 years of my life for this country, serving it, and I still would, because I believe in its basic principles. It's the greatest nation on the earth. But folks, somehow we have gotten turned around because we got lazy. We quit praying, We quit asking God to intercede on behalf of our men and women who lead this nation. And we said, oh, well, God's in control. That's all we can do. We hear that some vote is coming up to allow another degrading of Christian values. And we go, oh, well, Lord's will be done. Really? You know what? We have a responsibility to God, and we have a responsibility to this great nation to repent, to get on our face and ask God to forgive us, and to have Him lead this nation out of the cesspool it's in. Now, He did it many times with Israel too, didn't He? But it wasn't always something we wanted. In fact, many times, He would use invading armies to come and conquer them, to put them on their face. But what if the people repented before that happened? What if God heard their cries when they called out to Him and they asked for guidance? We can say, well, that's just the way it is. Things aren't going to change. With that mindset, you're right. But God hears our prayers. We should choose to strive to elect leaders that are godly men and women. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 through 25 reads this way. Now therefore, here is the king whom you had chosen and whom you have desired. This is Samuel. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. Hold on, time out. Who chose him? Was it the Lord? The Lord didn't choose him. So is that a contradiction? No. No. The people chose the king. And the Lord allowed it. So don't get confused when you're reading it and saying, well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. So the Lord has set a king over you that you chose, that you asked for. If you fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and He will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking a king for yourselves. Almost like a prophet sitting there today going, and I will withhold rain from the land, and your crops will dwindle, and your corn will fail. And your... Oh, hold it, that was last year. That was this year, wasn't it? Well, surely not, though. Pray for your servants. This is the people's plea to Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking for a king for ourselves. So when you go to elect that official, ask God to show you whom He would have. We no longer live under God as a society. We chose instead a different political system. Nevertheless, this is the system we have. Let us call upon the name of the Lord and seek His guidance before we make that decision. Do you want God's selection or do you want your own? Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from the following of the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside. For then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing." I'm going to stop right there for a second. I got a news flash for you. Neither candidate is going to be able to help you. Uh-oh. God alone can help you. Don't wrap up your faith in man. They'll fail you every time. They will fail you every time. Don't wrap up your faith in man. They will fail you every time. Let me make that clear. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. In verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Verse 25, but if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. If we continue to live as though it doesn't matter where we cast our vote, or if we cast our vote, and we continue not to pray for our elected leaders, then we will be swept away. Make no bones about it. God will hold us accountable, and we will pay the price. Is that what you want for your grandchildren, your children? Do you want them to see the wrath of God? I don't want to see the wrath of God. But if something doesn't change in America, we will. We need to understand that candidates or proposals that violate the Bible's commands for life, family, marriage, or faith should never be supported. Proverbs 14 and 34 reminds us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Christians should vote as led through prayer and a study of God's Word. Study His Word. It's not hard to figure out which side you should be on. But again, it's not a man. It's the issues. Vote your Christian moral values. Some may be saying, what if none of the candidates meet the criteria spoken of? Well, duh. I haven't seen too many who do. What do you do then? Gosh, wouldn't you just love to write in none of the above? None of the above. Gosh, maybe that's what we should have done. Maybe a year or so ago we should have started a grassroots campaign. None of the above. Or maybe we haven't been given a Christian alternative because God is going to bring judgment on us. Because God is going to say, okay, you didn't want me in the politics, that's fine. I'm not in there. Now what are you going to deal with? Well, truth is we need to be praying. We need to be praying and seeking God's face. We need to be following His lead. When you step in that voting booth and you make your selection knowing that it's the one that God wants you to make. And if you're so in such turmoil that you can't make that decision, then don't make it. But there's other elections taking place, just more than just the president. You may say, well, but he makes the rules. No, Congress does. And there are congressional elections taking place. There are local elections taking place. Get out and vote. I believe in straight line politics. I believe in straight party politics. My party's God. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's not Green Party. It's not Universalist. It's God. That's who I'm going to vote for this year. You say, well, how are you going to do that? I'm going to pray and ask God to show me. I'm going to look at the issues and how they line up with the Word of God. And I'm going to pray. You know what? You say, well, but there are issues that just about both candidates that just, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I won't argue that point. We only had one perfect man and we put him on a cross. So if you're looking for the perfect candidate, you won't find one. But let that Word of God, the Spirit of God, and your own conscience be your guide. But for the blood of man and woman who have given you the right to vote, I beg of you, get out and vote. God first, your fallen warriors last. But get out and vote. In General Patton's Principles for Life and Leadership, General George S. Patton Jr. says, picking the right leader is the most important task of any commander. He says, I line up the men who are up for promotion, the candidates, and I'll say, men, I want a trench dug behind warehouse 10. I want it 8 feet long and 6 inches deep. While the candidates are checking out their tools at the warehouse, I watch them from a distance. They puzzle over why I want such a shallow trench. Some will argue that 6 inches is too shallow for a gun emplacement. So what would he possibly want that for? Some complain that such a shallow trench should be dug by a machine, not by hand. Usually, if they're above the rank of lieutenant, they'll argue that this task is beneath them to do such lowly labor. He said, I look for that one man who will finally say what I'm looking for. What difference does it make what he wants the trench for? Let's just dig it and get out of here. That is the man who gets the promotion. Pick the man who can get the job done. Pick the man who can get the job done. God is looking for people whom He can give authority and responsibility. Like Patton, He gives people jobs and watches how they respond. Most of all, God is looking for obedience and faithfulness in us. Now, does anybody want to know what the story at the beginning has to do with voting? As I said earlier, we're all bruised up. Some by our own choices. Some by actions of others. But the fact is, we're all still within our Father's sight. Still within His reach. Even politicians. We need to realize that we're not just judged by the fruit that we offer, but also by the fruit that we pick. I'll say it again. By the fruit that we pick. We are judged by the world, by the leaders that we put into office. Choose wisely. Choose wisely the fruit that represents you. I ask you today, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, I ask you to pray and seek God's guidance before this election. I ask you to pray for our elected leaders. And I ask you, most of all, get out and vote. For those who have shed their blood on battlefields across this world, giving you a right to vote, I ask you, please, get out and vote. And if you can't make a decision between the two, leave it blank. But there's many others that you'll be able to decide on. You have a responsibility to this nation to vote. This is not a fired up sermon that you're going to walk out of here saying, gosh, I feel refreshed and renewed. I hope it isn't a sermon that I beat you up on either. But I do pray that it gave you something to think about. And folks, regardless of what the results of the election are, we need to continue to pray for this nation. We need the help of God again. Because this nation is lost. We have completely forgotten what basis we were built on. And you know what? Our Supreme Court has got it so backwards that they're now dictating their own set of rules by what they think the founders of this nation represented. All they need to do is go back and read what they represent or what they represented. But then things wouldn't go their way, would they? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that we live in this great nation, that we are so blessed, abundantly blessed, Lord. But Father, I know that we have fallen by the wayside, that we have turned towards our own heart's desires, and Lord, that we have left you behind. I ask you today, Lord, as we leave this place, may you burn in our spirit those who believe in the power of Jesus Christ. May you make it abundantly clear that we should choose those who believe you and follow you. And Lord, in those situations to where it's not obvious to us whom that would be, Holy Spirit, guide us in our selection. Let our choices be your choices. Let our choice be your choice, not the other way around. We pray now for this nation, Lord. We pray for the leaders, both present and future, We pray, Lord, that the United States would fall on their face and repent for the evil we commit daily. Lord, we also lift up our pastors, asking you, Lord, that you will heal that body, bring them home. And Father, we thank you for this precious day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, all God's people say, amen. God bless you all. Get out and vote.